It's always a pleasure on a Wednesday morning to see that fourth square come up on the Zoom meeting and Sherelle McMahon's face to pop up, and she's done it again today. Hello, Sherelle.
Good morning. How are we, boys?
We're going great. How's your world?
Going not too badly. I think the introduction of school holidays has changed the dynamic at the household with no home learning, and I think that has been so far a positive. So it's kind of good that we're not having to sit at the dining room table trying to do our multiplication and division.
Yes. And
we can just go to the playground for 2 hours a day. So it's a little bit worried as time goes on as to exactly what we're going to do, but so far it's been good.
The school holidays does change the dynamic, no doubt.
Yes. How many people were at the playground when you went to the playground?
Oh, not many, like 3,000.
Yeah.
3,000.
A lot. There was a lot there. I mean, you know, and because we're around, obviously, where we go to school, inevitably you run into a schoolmate or whatever, which is quite nice for the kids, actually, because they get that, you know, tiny bit of interaction.
Absolutely.
With someone their age, which is nice.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, that because I've had the same experience as going to playgrounds where there's 460,000 people there, but you can't go and have a round of golf with one other person walking through significant acreage where there's no other people around you. But, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I know that's a point for you golfers out there, as my husband's certainly one of them, and so we're all waiting, hopefully, for some announcements pretty soon that might change. But otherwise, going along with the Vixens, we've obviously secured top spot that couple of weeks ago, had a little bit of a stumble against the Firebirds on the weekend.
Just a stumble. It's not a
little bit of a stumble.
Arrogance and just sitting on your laurels.
Getting
that sort
ahead of
stuff.
Ourselves.
Getting ahead of yourself.
Definitely not that. I mean, we knew that the Firebirds were going to be a tough team. They've been playing really well, and we've got Lightning coming up on the weekend, and possibly the result of the game that we play against Lightning will determine whether they finish second, and so we meet them in the first final, or whether they drop to third. If we can beat them, and then we come up against the Fever in the first round of the final. So, yeah, still some manoeuvring to happen in that top four position.
Okay, yes, the Vixens on top with 10 wins, one draw and two losses. The Lightning with 9 wins. Last game of the season this week, of course, for the home and away rounds of the ANZ Championship. And we spoke yesterday about the ability of the AFL, Sherelle, to get through the home and away season. We touched on it last week when you were in the... It's been a great effort by all and sundry to make sure the Super Netball season has got through the 14 home and away rounds. And I'm sure everyone's, whilst very excited about the finals coming up, particularly obviously the ones that are playing, I imagine that the fact that it's almost over for four teams, they'll probably be looking forward to that too, because it's been quite a compact and stressful period of time that they probably would never have experienced.
No, that's right. And in the end, it'll be about 14 or 15 weeks that they're away we get right through to the end of the season. So while it has been really compact and stressful probably at times, it's still been a long time that they've been away too. So it's been quite full on for them. And, you know, the rhythm of the season, I know we spoke about this too, the rhythm of the season's changed because now there's no midweek games. So there's a whole week. So now there's a bit more training that they're doing and, you know, not as much time. Oh, sorry. There's more time now to reflect on things rather than just kind of switching your mind to the next thing and the next game. So I think that rhythm changing is something that the teams will need to contend with too, to maintain that momentum.
Have you changed, Sherelle, the way that you've coached them, say, with what you've learnt from, you know, this is across all sports, that because they were playing so much more, there wasn't as much analysis on what had happened. It was more about sort of moving forward and perhaps sort of uncomplicating things may have been helpful to players. Now you've gone back to that normal amount of time between games. Have you found yourself sort of analysing less, or have you gone back to exactly how it was?
Well, I think from that perspective, because I'm here in Melbourne, probably I'm doing something quite similar, really. Possibly, you know, there's probably a few more conversations with the coaches more than anything else, just to kind of think about what had happened and what's going forward. But generally speaking, the focus has been pretty similar. What it allows is that if there is anything, that you can tweak that in training. You can run those plays. You can have a look at the movement of the players. And, you know, there's a couple of areas that we want to look at. And so that's been something that's probably been happening all year, but we haven't really had a time to address it physically on the court. So it's more just taking a little bit of time to do some of those things that we haven't had an opportunity to do.
And it's all very well if you're the best team in the business. You can talk about that sort of stuff. What about if you're the worst team in the business? Because the Magpies, who are the other team, of course, in town, in Melbourne, in the Super Netball competition, have had a horrible season. One win and 12 losses. They take on the Firebirds, the Rampaging Firebirds, this week to finish off their campaign. Are they... Now, you're an assistant coach in another club, but you're also an expert commentator. Are they in rebuild mode? Do they need to rebuild?
That's an interesting question. They lost a lot of really experienced players, a lot of them through pregnancy last year. three Australian diamonds, effectively, through pregnancy, past or current Australian diamonds, and then another Ash Brazel with that knee injury that we know she suffered. So that's four players out of your starting seven that they've had to shuffle around. So some of them, I think, are potentially coming back into the lineup and... You know, they had a really young team this year, and that was possibly exposed a little bit in the way their season has played out. So, yeah, they need to rebuild, or they need to find some players to fill that, probably that experience gap that they've got.
Well, yeah, you have to think about it.
Yeah, but you think half just at their team on face value, you've got the Brown sisters, and you've got Ash Brazel, who really haven't participated at all this year. I mean, the Brown sisters were there for the start, but really missed a lot of the season. And when you're sort of going through a transitional period and their experienced players just aren't there, it doesn't really leave a lot left. But they do seem to have found a few youngsters, Sherelle, that perhaps got exposed a lot earlier than they thought they would have to sort of be put into the fire. But they look like they've got some talented youngsters.
Yeah, they do. And that's one of the things about this season is that we've seen a lot of young players that haven't had that experience before. There's an extended bench to help cope with the load, which means that there's a couple of extra players there that wouldn't normally be there. And a lot of the teams have really explored that, which has been great to see. And, you know, as you say, the Magpies, not only have they lost those other players from last year, but Maddie and Kelsey have had those knee injuries that have pulled them out halfway through this season as well. So, yeah, it has provided those opportunities, but sometimes those young players just, you know, they need time to develop themselves, obviously, but it's good to have that experience around them to help them with those new experiences, which they kind of haven't had largely.
Now, we were talking about cake and icing or steak or sizzle when it comes to AFL footballers. In netball, does that happen, or because it's such a specific positional sort of game, you can't sort of have the blend of both? Or maybe it's one goal shooter and one goal attack. You've got one icing and one cake player.
No, there's definitely cake and icing players in netball. Absolutely. There's players who, you know, are more steady with the way they play the game. You know, they bring the ball through and they're, I don't know, is more reliable the right way to put it, possibly. Yeah. And then there's others who bring the excitement and can be real game changers, but maybe not as steady too in those moments.
Yep.
That definitely happens. It definitely happens, as you say, with the combinations of players out on court. Sometimes, let's use goal attack because that's my favourite position. Sometimes they can play a role within the team that is really steady, and it's you're feeding the goal shooter, and it's you're not really the playmaker, whereas other teams have a really outstanding goal attack who can really take that load and shift a game.
Tell me about Gemma Maimai and the furore surrounding her no-minute appearance or non-appearance for the Queensland Firebirds in your game on the weekend, Sherelle, in Indigenous Ground. Can you explain more about what the situation is there, please?
Yeah, this has been one something that's been gaining momentum over the last couple of days. So it was an Indigenous round across Suncorp Super Netball on the weekend, and so there was some really fantastic stories being told. The girls and the athletes wore dresses designed by Indigenous artists, and there was some really great work being done in this space. There was also some not very pleasant stories to hear being told as well about some Indigenous women and their experiences within netball. And I actually was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago with one of the only two Indigenous Australians who have represented the Australian Diamonds, Sharon Finn and White. And she was talking about some of the challenges and barriers that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders have in the netball pathway. And so this was a moment in time on the weekend, but I think it probably speaks to something broader that we need to probably address in netball. So on the weekend, it was Indigenous round, as I said. Gemma Mai Mai is a player with the Queensland Firebirds. She's the only Indigenous woman who is on a list for SSN at the moment. And I think that there is a real example of perhaps we need, well, we do need to do more work in those pathways to provide more opportunities for Indigenous women at that top level. So that's one point of it. In the end, what happened is the Firebirds, as we said before, took on the ladder leaders in the Melbourne Vixens and beat them. And so those athletes who were out on court absolutely deserved their selection out on court, and they got the job done. But what happened was Gemma Mai Mai didn't take the court at all. So the only Indigenous player across the competition didn't take the court. And it has certainly riled many people, as it probably should. And the club has come out to say that the selections were made on performance and that they possibly misread the community expectations around that. So I don't know, Harf. It was a bit awkward at the end. She tried to come on the court, but that substitution didn't happen. What I'm hearing is that there is a lot of voices from that Indigenous community that are really upset with the way that she was treated and are a little bit worried about her welfare and the load that she's been carrying and how it's been spoken about. And I don't know, my view is that she should have taken part in that game in some way. And I wonder if they would do things slightly differently if they had their time again.
So she was used as part of the promotion for the week. Is that what I read as well? That she was one of the,
yes,
well, clearly the face, because she's the only Indigenous woman,
correct,
in the competition. So she was put out there front and centre for all to see.
Correct.
And then not used during the game at all. The other part, would she normally be played? Did she normally get minutes? Because I must admit, I don't know much about Gemma. Would she normally get minutes?
So more recently, she hasn't been playing as many minutes because Lara Dunkley, who is a Victorian, who we some of us know, have gone up there, and she's doing really well in Gemma Maimai's position. Earlier in the year, Gemma had certainly been playing a lot of minutes, and she's a really, really good player. So she's certainly on merit, could be given that opportunity too. I know that some people are wondering whether a couple of minutes at the end of the game is what it deserved, and I mean that's possibly a discussion for someone other than me, but it just felt in that moment that to put her onto the court, they were up by 10. They're not making finals anyway, so the result of the game wasn't going to be determining anything for in their broader season context. And I don't know, I think it's possibly a bit disrespectful as well to suggest that just by putting her on, they would put the game in jeopardy, because she's a far better player than that. And I think sometimes in sport, we need to lift the eyes a little bit and look at things from a more broader perspective and the impact it can have.
It's certainly got a lot of people talking. That's what it has done, Sherelle. So we'll see the wash-up from the Firebirds and what happens perhaps even this week. Do they play a starter this week? And when it doesn't really matter, I suppose, because it's, you know, it's from in terms of significance and symbolism. Last week would have been the one, you'd think, if she was going to get some minutes. But it'd be fascinating to see how they play it now. They did release a statement at 11:04 p.m. on a Monday night to discuss it. So it's something they're clearly a bit sheepish about as well, the Firebirds. We'll see what happens. 7:24, we need to get to a break, because after that, Dave Vessels